I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I had a video scheduled to go live today. It's going to go live tomorrow. In the meantime, I wanted to say a couple of things. First, thank you for the amazing response to the video I posted last week. And I've got some extra links in the description. As for what's going on with Snap right now, I don't know. We're still in the I don't know stage. So we're just working through that. But I'm going to try to do like a mostly unedited video this morning just to go through kind of what happened to me as I opened up social media, which, you know, shouldn't have done that. And the story is fascinating and important as both like a cancer survivor and as a citizen of the United States of America. So I woke up, I opened up, and this is a guy I follow on Threads, and he's talking about Scott Adams getting in a fight with like an ivermectin guy. And we're going to talk about that, but we're not going to talk about it first. Because this guy in this screenshot here is talking about like the fight that they had. And I was like, okay, well, what did Scott Adams actually say? Because I remember specifically when Scott Adams announced that he had metastatic prostate cancer, he said that he had gone to an ivermectin clinic. And I think that he maybe mentioned this guy by name. And he said that he, you know, maybe people are helped by this, but he wasn't helped by it. So thank you very much. I don't need to hear about that. I did try it. And that makes sense because Scott Adams is one of these sort of, you know, very sort of Trump adjacent, RFK Jr. adjacent, everything is bad, all institutions are faulty. And so there must be like some secret information somewhere. And maybe ivermectin and mebendazole is like the thing. So I went and checked out Scott Adams' Twitter. On Monday, I asked President Trump via X to help save my life. He offered me help if I needed it, and I need it. As many of you know, Scott Adams, the guy who created Dilbert, if you don't know who this is, has become like a right-wing influencer, and now he is dying of metastatic prostate cancer. Where he is at with his cancer is not curable, but there are certainly ways that medicine might be able to prolong his life, and we're going to talk about one of those. So as many of you have heard, I have metastasized prostate cancer. My healthcare provider, Kaiser of Northern California, has approved my application to receive a newly FDA-approved drug called Pluvicto. But they've dropped the ball in scheduling the brief IV to administer it, and I can't seem to fix that. I'm declining fast. I will ask President Trump if he can get Kaiser of Northern California to respond and schedule it for Monday. That will give me a fighting chance to stick around on this planet a little bit longer. It's not a cure, but it does give good results to many cheap people. This is all correct. Like, I believe this 100%. So first of all, Pluvicto is a exciting new drug for prostate cancer, for late stage prostate cancer. It works by binding to a specific receptor on prostate cancer cells that prostate cancer cells have way more of than other cells in the body. And then it will dump a payload of a radioactive isotope that then shoots out radiation and damages the cancer cells, and the cancer cells die. And this can control prostate cancer for months for some people and years for others. This was posted on November 2nd. It's November 3rd as I record this and probably as I upload it. And RFK Jr. replied quickly, how do I reach you? The president wants to help. And if we go into today's news, this is the number one news story on Twitter, 233,000 posts about it. This is not what I went to Twitter to find out about. I went to Twitter to find out about this fight that he had had with the ivermectin doctor. But Donald Trump Jr. posted about it. Maybe, I'm not sure if this is actually, I don't know, like this is just a screenshot. It says on it. And maybe that's what it is. And then Jack Posobiec, I can confirm Scott Adams now has an appointment tomorrow for his cancer treatment. This is like the correct thing that should have happened in zero ways. So like the correct thing should have happened. There is a success, but inside of that success, there's a bunch of failures stacked up in a trench coat. So one of the things about cancer treatment is that there's like a bunch of different parts of the hospital get involved, and this can make things slow way down. And this is a problem. So with any chemotherapy, these are dangerous drugs. And so you want to be very careful. And so you need like specialized people to administer them. So you need like the pharmacy involved, you need like pharmacology people involved, and then you need the oncology department involved. And even that, like that's pretty like well established and they know how to do that. But then with something like Pluvicto, you also get the radiation people involved. And then you have even more specialized treatment, more specialized storage. Also, the drug itself doesn't last for very long. So the whole idea is that it's releasing a lot of radiation. And as it does that, you know, its half-life is going through its half-life. And so over a period of time, there's less and less and less of the actual active part of the drug. So you maybe could only use Pluvicto for 6 days after it's created. On top of that, you have specialized staff. On top of that, you have a bunch of bureaucracy around all of this that's, you know, interfacing the health insurance company with the hospital. And I don't know how long Scott Adams had been waiting on his IV He's posting this on the weekend, so, you know, there's going to be less activity. You got faxes going back and forth about this stuff. It's terrible. The system is bad. It's very slow, but, like, it's also very careful, because if you put Plevicto in the wrong person, that's a very bad outcome. If you spill Plevicto, it's a very bad outcome. If you give Plevicto after it's expired, that's a bad outcome. There's, like, bad outcomes in every direction, and so there's, like, infrastructure built up to prevent the bad outcomes, but also that infrastructure increases the chance of bad outcomes. This is like story of our world, right? Where we see a problem and then we put a solution on it. But then eventually the number of solutions adds up to a problem. And so that's a thing that needs to be addressed. And there are right now, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of people in Scott Adams' exact situation. Now, today there are people in that situation. When I was going through cancer treatment, I was shocked the extent to which some things happened very fast, but then there were just bottlenecks. You know, in my area, there's just not a lot of PET CT scanners. I live in Montana, and they were like, well, here's the situation. So like there's the one here, and then there's one up in Flathead County. And so we're going to put you in for both of those. And whichever one comes up first, we'll get you in that one. And that was how it worked. I could have maybe flown to Seattle. And like I thought about it, but most people aren't going to think about that because they're not going to add the cost of a plane trip and a hotel stay and however long that's going to take and however much time they have to get off work for that. So this is like a bunch of imperfections all stacked up on each other, which leads to injustice. And so like the number one failure inside of this trench coat is that there's all these systems stacked up on top of each other that some of them have to do with like the legitimate, like you have to be careful with Plevicto, you have to be careful with chemotherapies, you have to be even more careful with like radiotherapy stuff. But then there's, I think, unnecessary parts of this. Like, why is there an insurance company involved at all? Why are they making decisions? Why are they talking to the hospital? Why isn't the hospital just making this decision? I don't know. Like, somebody has to make the decision, and these decisions can be hard. Like, on average, Plevicto buys people like 5 months of time. It's very expensive. And there is like an amount of money that you shouldn't pay because otherwise they'll charge more. And then fewer people will have access to it. Like, it sucks. Healthcare sucks. The system sucks. So there's like a bunch of failures all tied up in that one failure that's in this trench coat. And then the second failure is, in order to fix the problem, what did we do? We asked the president, but that's not really what we did. In order to fix the problem, Scott Adams was a high status person with connections to the Trump administration. That's how he fixed the problem. Now, what Donald Trump cannot do here, he could not say, okay, give this guy a drug that isn't approved. The drug was approved. He was approved for the drug. The thing that was broken was some bureaucracy in the middle. You know, somebody hadn't sent a fax, or the people, you know, were trying to line up all of the people who have to be in the room to administer this drug. And, you know, some of those people were not available that day. You know, like human beings living their lives. But then, like, the director of Health and Human Services is suddenly on the line. And you're like, okay, yeah, we're going to get all the people in the room. We're going to figure that out. But when you do that, you're breaking something else. So we don't know about what just got broken. We don't know about what just didn't happen. We know that Scott Adams needed help. And like everybody at Kaiser suddenly was freaking out. And they were like, okay, everybody mobilize, do your things instead of whatever else you were going to do today. Now we're working for Trump. Now we're working for Scott Adams. And like, good. The success at the end of that is what should have happened in the first place, which is the person who was approved for a treatment, dying of metastatic prostate cancer, gets the treatment that might extend their life. Probably will extend his life. And if this is the way, you know, how many people in Trump's orbit currently have cancer? Like one. Maybe, I don't know, maybe like five. And if this is like one of these guys who could ask for help, there's so many people in the world who need this kind of help, who need better systems. And instead of systems, what we're like many people are celebrating as a success today is a failure that stacks on top of those other failures that resulted in a good outcome for one man. And I'm glad that that good outcome happened for that one man, but we need to understand that this is a kind of corruption, that this is a kind, like, and I think most presidents wouldn't do this, or it would happen quietly and silently and would not be celebrated. Actually, I think that's more likely what would happen because of the reality that this is fucked up. So there's all these failures in here, all the failures of the system that led to Scott not getting treatment. And then there's all the failures of of a kind of corrupt system where we can solve the problems of people as long as they are our friends, as long as they have connections, as long as they have like status in society, a lot of Twitter followers. And that happening like out in public is like, I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen. It totally happens. It's totally a thing. I could have, if I needed to, I could have put pressure on a number of systems that the average person couldn't do. And I would have done that for myself and for my family and for my child and for all the things that I care about. I would do the same thing if I was in his situation. So I'm not like absolutely not blaming this that guy. But like that shouldn't be how this works. And it is just like doing it out in public and then celebrating it is such a Trump administration thing to do, where it's like, yeah, we will help our people. And who counts as our people? Whoever's loyal, as long as you've been loyal and also have power, you know. So like you could, how many people are huge Trump supporters and are in basically this exact same situation? Like maybe this exact same situation. And also like maybe Scott needed to wait until Monday when the people doing the paperwork got back in the office. I don't know. Like delays do matter in situations like this. With Plevicto, I have no idea how much a delay would matter. So I can't speak on that. But I am interested in the original reason that I went to Twitter. So I did search for Scott Adams Macis. What did he do? What did he say? He said, please don't recommend I take ivermectin and fenbend. This is every cancer patient's plight. I was somewhat isolated from this because of who I am. You know, people aren't going to go to Hank Green and say, you know, have you thought about XYZ? Like they know that I'm a science-y guy. They know that I trusted the situations as they are. And I think the people surrounding me mostly also feel that way. So I didn't get this a lot, but I can imagine that Scott Adams, given the sort of, you know, adjacency to various elements of the everything is bad world, all systems are broken and there's easy solutions to all problems world that is a lot of the MAGA world, would be getting this a ton and is exhausted by it. He said, I tried that last year via Macis to no effect. And then he says, this is not what he originally said. So when I watched his video where he talked about how he had prostate cancer and he said that he had tried ivermectin. He said that up front. And he said that it hadn't worked for them, but like maybe there are people it works for. But now he's changed his tune a little bit on that. There are claims of it working, but I am aware of no patient who benefited from it. And this is not for lack of looking on his part, I would wager. And neither are you. So I think that says even stronger. I mean, this guy's a commentator, so he says things in a way that is, you know, strongly worded for effect. Please don't recommend fasting or any other diet related system. Someone credible would have noticed if that worked. Please don't. This is like the story of every cancer patient, you know, who goes in thinking, oh, I mean, Steve Jobs is such a sad example of this. Goes in thinking that there's some way of doing these things that, that like someone must not have noticed. I think powerful people can fall for this even more because they think that something like they must be able to find some special way. Please don't recommend any cocktail of vitamins and minerals. I very much appreciate you caring, but assume I have heard about all of the above. I'm overwhelmed with those same suggestions all day long. And that's totally understandable. Now, he did go to Dr. Macis and he did try it out. And then he did say that, you know, after trying it out and it not working for him, he maybe dove a little bit deeper and found that actually this is such a replicable phenomenon. Once you are in the problem, you start to see all the reasons the problem exists and why it's hard to solve. And like metastatic prostate cancer is a very good example of a extremely hard to solve problem. There's like cell bio reasons why this is a hard to solve problem. There are physiological reasons. There's so many reasons why metastatic prostate cancer is specifically a hard problem to solve. But liars and charlatans sell you the myth that it's easy to solve, but people are hiding that from you. And you do not discover that that is a lie and that they are charlatans until you are experiencing the problem. And this goes beyond metastatic prostate cancer, you guys. This is a thing everywhere. that, like, there's an easy solution to this hard problem, and if only you'd listen to me, and then you actually look at the problem, you're like, oh, actually, this is a hard problem, and there are reasons why it isn't solved yet, and it turns out we have to, like, work really hard, and there are people working really hard to figure out what treatments work well, what policy solutions work well, you know, all of that. All of that. Turns out things are hard. Turns out when problems are unsolved, it's either because they're really hard, or because they're not really big problems, or because no one's paying attention to them. Those are the three reasons. And, like, let you believe, cancer is a problem we're paying a lot of attention to, because it's, like, one of the only things that still threatens rich people. And after that tweet, William Mackis goes on the internet and just shares a bunch of private medical information about Scott Adams. What a stand-up dude! Like, almost as if he's not particularly worried about losing his medical license because he's already lost his medical license. Like, I can't even show you this. Like I can't show you all of this because there's a bunch of private medical information of Scott Adams that he did not himself choose to share. That's fucked, guy! He tried to hurt thousands of other cancer patients in the process as he went after my ivermectin cancer clinic, all in caps, used horrible language and pinned those attacks to his ex profile. Horrible language. Maybe we're looking at a different tweet. He just said it didn't work. That's allowed. You're allowed to say things don't work. Especially when they don't work. Especially when they don't work. Everybody, let's play connections. Sea monkey, jigsaw puzzle, balloon animal, clown nose, whoopee cushion, maraschino cherry. I hate the double words. There's too much information. Now, jumbo shrimp is one of those things that's both. It's big and small. There's a word for it. Pickup sticks. So, like, there's things here that are like old school presents. Balloon animal, clown nose. Those are also related. Dark horse, stop sign. Water wings are inflatable, and so is a whoopee cushion. Funky chicken is a dance move. Pickup sticks. These are like old school toys. Old school toys. A jigsaw puzzle isn't really an old school toy because it still exists. People still do that. Nobody does pickup sticks anymore. I mean, maybe somebody does, but not a lot. Maraschino cherry and stop signs are red. A Lego set is more of a recent toy. A dark horse. A clown nose, a jigsaw puzzle. Jigsaw and clowns are scary things. Annoyingly, sea monkey, dark horse, funky chicken, and jumbo shrimp all end in animals. But sea monkey was in my old school toy. So maybe a jigsaw puzzle, maybe it's this top line. Light, bright, whoopee cushion, jigsaw puzzle, pickup sticks. Because whoopee cushion is inflatable, along with the balloon animal, but don't know. And water wings, and a bouncy castle. Okay, we're getting somewhere. And then this would be light, bright, jigsaw puzzle, pickup sticks, Lego set? Like a thing with a bunch of pieces? It's a toy with a bunch of pieces. Could be. And that would leave us with stop sign, clown nose, maraschino cherry, and fire engine, which are red things. Okay, well, we got it. I don't know what the purple is. Is it just thing? It can't be things that end in animals. I hate that. But no, but like, what's the other one? Inflatable things? Let's go with inflatable things. These are all equally hard to me. Toys with lots of pieces. Pickup sticks, jigsaw puzzle, light bright, and Lego set. Toys with lots of pieces. Toys with lots of... Oh, I got the category right! I try to get purple first, if you're confused. No, god dang it. Okay, well, it's not the red thing. It's just, there's an animal in it? I hate that. I hate that for a purple. Ugh, that's so not the purple. Oh my god. That's frustrating. If you don't know, I started a store. It's called Good.Store. It's a store where you can buy things and all the profit goes to charity. We have a number of things. One of the things we have is a line of eco-friendly cleaning products called EcoGeek. Like, this is our solid dish soap. You get that with one of these little guys and you scrub it on there and then you scrub your dishes. We also have dishwasher tabs. The whole idea here is to decrease the amount of plastic involved in this whole process and also concentrate down the active ingredients in these things so that we send you just those rather than like all the water that would normally be dissolved, like holding the stuff together. You can see Alec from Technology Connections if you ever watch that channel. He is helping us figure these out because he loves optimizing dishwashing. Because of course he does. And then this is the most amazing thing. So this is hand soap refills, and there's a ton of them, and they're so cheap. And you just stick one of these things in and make a little pumper. Do I have the pumper? I don't have the pumper. It's in my house because I'm using it. That's all the soap that's in your hand soap. This is how much there is. This is all we use in my house now. And it is great. You can learn all about that at good.store. There's a bunch of other stuff. There's tea, there's coffee, there's soap, there's socks, there's underwear. We've got everything. I'm wearing the socks and the underwear right now. I'm not going to show you. That'd be too much. Again, thanks to everybody who watched that video about the shutdown and Snap. Thanks to Jeannie Hunter. Thanks, everybody. And I got a fun video coming out tomorrow. So I hope that you enjoy that one.